This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures and to day 238 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is August 26. And we're beginning a new book today by the same author as the last book, Solomon. It's called the Song of Songs. It's not too long. At 8 chapters, we'll finish in 4 days. There's a double theme here. On the one hand, it's a love song between a husband and wife. Portions of it were used as hymns in Jewish weddings for centuries, but it's also a story of God's love for His bride, His people. The Church has long understood it as an allegorical story referring to Christ and His bride, the Church. There's a lot of imagery from nature, and it bears some resemblance, like Ecclesiastes, to Proverbs. And I think it's always nice if you can read along in the Orthodox Study Bible, but in this case, it can be even more helpful since when reading along, it's easier to see when the bride is speaking, or the groom, or the companions. But I'll do my best to present it properly. So that was a bit of an intro. Now let's begin. The Song of Songs, chapters 1 and 2. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine, and the smell of your ointments is better than all spices. Your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the young maidens love you, they draw you. We will run after you for the smell of your ointments. The king brought me into his chamber. Let us be extremely joyful and glad in you. We will love your breasts more than wine. Uprightness loves you. I am black and beautiful. O daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, do not look at me because I am black, for the sun gave me a tan. The sons of my mother fought with me and made me keeper in the vineyards, but I have not yet kept my own vineyard. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you shepherd your flock, where you rest them at noonday, lest I become as one who encompasses herself with the herds of your companions. If you do not know yourself, fairest among women, go forth on the heels of the flocks, and tend your young goats by the shepherd's tents. I have likened you, my beloved, to my horses in the chariots of Pharaoh. Your cheeks are as beautiful as turtle doves, your neck as a small necklace. We will make for you figures of gold with studs of silver. While the king was at the table, my spikenard gave forth its smell. My beloved is to me a bundle of myrrh. He shall take rest in between my breasts. To me my beloved is a cluster of grapes from Cyprus in the vineyards of Ein Gedi. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, and indeed lovely. Our bed is shaded. The beams of our houses are cedars. Our ceilings are cypress wood. I am a flower of the plain, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters. As the apple among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I desire to be in his shadow and to sit down and his fruit was sweet in my mouth. Bring me into the house of wine, set love before me. Strengthen me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am wounded with love. His left hand shall be under my head, and his right hand shall embrace me. I implore you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the hosts and powers of the field, that you rouse not nor wake my love until he wishes. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping on the mountains and skipping over the hills. My beloved is as a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bethel. Behold, he stands behind our wall, looking through the windows and peering through the lattices. My beloved answers and says to me, "Rise up and come, my companion, my fair one, my dove. For behold, the winter is past, and the rain is gone. It has departed. The flowers are seen in the land. The time of pruning has arrived. The voice of the dove is heard in our land. The fig tree has put forth its young figs, and the vines are in bloom and give forth their fragrance. Arise and come, my companion, my fair one, my dove. And come, my dove, to the shelter of the rock, and take hold of the wall. Show me your face, and cause me to hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is beautiful. Catch us the foxes, the little ones that spoil the vineyard, for our vines are in bloom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He who shepherds his flock among the lilies, until the day dawns and the shadows depart, my beloved, turn back and be as likened to a gazelle or young stag on the mountains of the ravines." Psalm 49, verses 16 through 23. To the sinner God says, "Why do you declare my ordinances and take up my covenant in your mouth? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you run with him, and you keep company with adulterers. Your mouth is filled with evil, and your tongue weaves deceits. You sit and speak against your brother and place a stumbling block before your mother's son. You do these things and I keep silent. You think I am lawless like you, but I shall rebuke you and contradict you to your face. Understand these things, you who forget God, lest he snatch you away and there be none to deliver. A sacrifice of praise shall glorify me, and there is the way whereby I will show him the salvation of God." Proverbs chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. The works of the righteous produce life, but the fruits of the ungodly produce sins. Instruction guards righteous ways of life, but instruction incapable of criticism goes astray. Righteous lips cover hatred, but those who bring forth abuse are very lacking in discernment. You will not escape sin by a multitude of words, but you of discreet lips will be forbearing. The tongue of a righteous man is silver tried in the fire, but the heart of an ungodly man shall fail. The lips of righteous men understand lofty things, but men without discernment die in want. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. St. Paul suggests that if a person is not married, perhaps they should stay celibate, as he is. He mentions that it's not a command, but a suggestion. And he also says that one reason is that he believes the time is short. In other words, that the Lord's second coming is imminent, and it would be better for people to live a simpler and uncomplicated, undistracted life. Though we now know the second coming did not happen right away, there is truth in his words that we often complicate our lives more than we ought to. And these complications hinder our spiritual life. They block our relationship with God. I'd like to suggest taking a look at Father Thomas Hopko's 55 Maxims for Daily Living. They are quite simple, actually, but not all easy. He suggested that this list was a simple and concise essence of our life in Christ. I'm not going to read the 55 here, but I will post them on our Daily Orthodox Scriptures webpage on day 238, August 26, on that post. So you can find that at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. And you can take your time and read them and reread them. And hopefully practice them. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.